together and to actually learn from one another. At the same time, we're going to listen to some video sessions that Ross did at Somerset West, actually. And after the session, I will also share a little bit how did I even also got to this place of even helping Somerset West in the same direction. So first of all, just in the time of just prayer and worship, actually, I just felt God showing me this picture of ironically enough, like sheep, kraal, Richard. But I saw the kraal was actually quite green grass, you know. And usually we say people want to go where the grass is greener. But I actually saw this picture of the grass is green in the kraal, but we're opening the gate, you know, to let the people go out, actually. I think what God's going to do, even through today and through the years, actually to open that gate for people to actually go where the grass isn't greener. But to have that confidence and the faith to actually go there. And there's another picture I just saw was like, you know, we always read about the story of the ark, but it was obviously a moment where the ark stopped and that gate had to open. And I can even think it for the people on the gate, Noah's family. It was probably at the place of that, what are we actually going to do now there, you know, type of feeling. It's actually a new chapter again. And I just feel God's actually going to open that ark, you know, gate. So there's a lot of safety in the ark. There's a lot of safety in the kraal. But I actually feel God wants to open the gate, you know, for us to walk out. I want us to break up in groups of 4 and 5, definitely not more. And then just to prepare our own minds for the video session, I want you to answer the next question in your group. Are all of you small group facilitators currently? Not all. Who's not? Okay, it's not that many. I want you to divide in groups and talk in the group. What are you supposed to do as a small group facilitator? What do you think you're supposed to do? And what do you think is this, why do we have small groups? We're going to allow like 5 or 6 minutes for that. So if you guys can please divide in groups of 4 or 5. Okay, if you guys can maybe finish up. Let me quickly get just like 2 sentences out of each group. What is this small group about? Or what did you answer? What was your answers in your groups? We will start here. Okay. Oh, wow. You guys actually summarized it. Well done. Oh, and the second one? You didn't get to the second one. Okay. Yes. Do you want to answer? Jolene, there with you guys. Okay. And just for interest sake, if you say grow, what do you mean by grow? Grow in what areas?
Okay. Hoe klink ons antwoorde? Is die kerk op die regte trek, Jankoor? Okay, ons sal later praat. Ons sal later praat. Okay, I see he's not saying anything right now. Yeah, you just asked me to kind of just say 1 or 2 minutes around our journey as a church. Well, the last year and a bit that Jolene and I have been here, around small groups. And I think the thing that I said on Sunday was, in my mind, church lives and dies by relationship. You know, without relationship, without If the stones must be living stones, it implies that they're living, which means they're dynamic, which means that's life. We do life together in church, and I think that's what David's also saying. It's nearly more vital in a sense than just kind of big gatherings where there's perhaps not too much opportunity for relationships. I think that's the one thing in my mind where that small group provides that platform, like skep die omgewing, as Heinz said, where that relationship can take place, where we do life together, where if someone gets a baby, the rest is there to support that family. If someone, as iemand trek, Piet onlangs het trek, and Johan and them, I don't know if your small group helped you, but they were meant to. but I know back in my days in Pretoria, man, you know, it's before I had a lot of money, so I was kind of renting everywhere and looking for the best bargain the whole time. So I moved, I think, about 6 times in 3 years. And that poor little small group, man, they had all with my getrek in kasten and boks gedra. So we did life together. And that's the amazing thing about small group is, it's such an amazing relationship that takes place, but very often it's just a seasonal relationship. So it can often be very intense. So, and in one sense, that's a good thing. In one sense, that's a challenge for us as well. What he's implying is this great relationship here. There are relationships that have been coming a long time, and people love each other and trust each other and want to be with each other, and in a sense don't want those relationships to be disrupted. And I thought, you know, I think I came in here last year with my vision of buying new nets, you know, new small group leaders, so in that sense, you know, if I look back over the last year at our journey, our small groups have all grown, but we haven't necessarily multiplied. And I think last year I might have panicked about that and thought, oh, God, you know, God, our small groups are getting too big, and they don't want to multiply. But I'm not freaking out about it. I think where God has added, like with the Dirkie and Mallory, I just approached them, you know, I just said, what about you guys? You know, there were all these young people that didn't have kids or weren't slightly older. And yeah, we had a young couple, and I said, why don't you guys lead a small group for the young people? So I think we're finding perhaps new and interesting ways of creating more capacity in our church to grow, to create more spaces where the facilitation can take place. And I think as we go through today, maybe those are some of the things that we will talk about and perhaps ask each other why, you know, why are we a little bit nervous of multiplying, not splitting. We don't split the church or split the small group. We multiply. But having said that, for me, it's not kind of the goal that it was perhaps last year. I think God will add. For me, like I said, the goals for the year is relationship. The goals for the year is Holy Spirit empowerment. So I don't even have any goals for the number of cells that we must have this year. For me, the win this year is if there's great relationship and we're creating space for the Holy Spirit to manifest meaningfully, where people's gifts are stirred and encouraged this year, then I think in small groups, then, you know, that's the win for me this year. So that's kind of just, yeah, what my heart is for the year.
Thank you, Richard, for sharing. Before we start watching the first video, I just want to, even just quickly from my own journey, and you will hear we're talking about the word journey, because I think one of the things that we need to realize is that small groups and the church also grow the whole time. In a journey with God, where God is taking the church and the small groups. So I think one thing it would be good to realize that we always build on the past, but we always allow God to refresh where he's taking us and even allow him to even come and change us in our own hearts. And I must tell you, so I went from Stellenbosch to Namibia, and I was there, like helped pastor the church, and I had a few small groups, and I did very well. And they did very well by us just focusing on the basics, you know, making sure people get to encounters, you know, follow-ups is done well. those basics, okay? Then I came back with Stellenbosch, and I was a district leader there, and I oversee a few small groups, and it was again going well. Meanwhile, me and my wife got 4 children. 4 and 5 years. So it was like, you know. And then we started slotting in more with Somerset West, and I realized I get a lot of exposure to ministry, but not my wife and my family. So they don't really see anything, you know. My wife is permanently busy with the 4 kids. So I asked Heinrich, I want to start my own small group, just to allow my family to be part of, you know, what I actually do. And suddenly, now some of you will know, I'm presenting small group training since whenever. And becoming a small group facilitator again, I was like, shoo, this is quite difficult. You know, on a Wednesday, I work here, and I have to drive back, so I'm very tired when I get to back home. And, you know, you're burdened, you know, you are burdened with all the pressures of the day, and then suddenly you have to walk in this small group. You need to be this fresh air for these other people, you know. You realize sometimes you also got issues, you know, and burdens. And the thing that I realized, and I want to just put in your heart before we watch the video, is really to get to that place of expectations. What is the expectations that you want on yourself as a small group facilitator, but also in your small group? You know, it's because for me, you know, I will share from my own small group. I've actually communicated right in the beginning, and this is what I hope through the day, that you will learn and get some of the elements, what to communicate in your small group, so that there can be a common expectation. So in my small group, we've got a lot of kids, and I told my small group, listen, our expectations in this is for this year is we want to reach the kids. Okay, we as the adults, we're already saved, you know, but our kids don't know the Lord. And what I did by that is so that they can realize we've got a mandate as a small group, but it's quite simple. You know, I'm not going to tell my small group, yes, we're going to grow in the Word and Holy Spirit and this and this and this and this, because the expectation becomes too much, not just on the small group, but also on you. You know, and that's the one thing, if you communicate expectation to your small group, keep it simple, keep it small, keep it reachable. You know, so in my small group, when we actually start the night off by eating together, and then we have worship, and we start the worship always off with the kids. Now, I don't know of your kids is probably very holy and so on, but it's absolutely chaos with us. You know, and the thing that always amazes me so much is how faithful God is, because in the meanwhile, while 2 children are fighting because the shaker, we give them all kinds of instruments, you know, the one child would say to the other, but I like the purple one, you know, and you know I like the pink one. And then they start fighting about who is getting the witch shaker. And between all of those chaos, God's always so faithful. He always pitch, you know. And you like that whole day, it was so busy, but you in that time, you can have time with God. But because the small group now, we're there for the kids, nobody's sitting there like, can't these children behave? Because they know the expectation of the year is we want to show at least 1 or 2 times, even in a year, these children, if they can have a moment with God in this year, it was a good small group. Are you with me? And it's so amazing, by just taking that burden off you as a facilitator and from the small group, they actually just relaxed. I think some of you will realize in the time that we live, for most people, the actual issue is just to come and relax, to receive from God. There's enough burdens on people's life. There's enough burden, pressure on people that it's actually the pressure and the burden that make them not relating to God or not getting to God. So I would really want to encourage you, make it simple and tell the small group, what is our expectation for the year? Because if you have someone in a small group which feels we're going to study the Word this year, well, then you need to do that. And that's a lot of work, if you know. But so please keep your expectations simple. Also on yourself. The responsibility can't be on yourself. You will hear a lot in the session, Ross talking about it. In your small group, again in the beginning, make sure that everyone in small group understands it's not your small group. You're there to, yes, help facilitate. And just on the word facilitate, you will hear Ross mention it once. But facilitate means the act of assisting to help making something easier. So the only thing that you want to do as a small group facilitator is to know God has started something in someone's life, and you can just make it easier for that person to get to that. Another thing of expectation is also we sometimes think that in the first session, or when someone says something wrong or did something wrong or say something, that we must fix it immediately. A good thing to know and to remember is the chance is good that person is going to be with you a whole year. So also don't put unfair expectations on people. So if you, in the beginning, pray about the people in your small group, and I'm going to use some examples again from my own small group. I've had someone in my small group that struggled with unforgiveness. But he struggled with 10 other stuff too. But for me, I felt with praying with God that this is the one thing I hope I can help him with through this whole year. So this whole year, I hope only for that one thing, and that's unforgiveness. I'm going to leave the other issues and trust God for that one thing. And every time in a small group, try and get, you know, and celebrate that little bites that you can, you know, in the elephant to help that person. Or another person, I had this person in my small group. I could see she's actually also like in ministry, like in the NGO type environment, and I can see in her case the only thing she needed was actually rest. She's always busy, you know. Again, so the whole year my faith was to help her with that one thing and not to try and correct the person's whole life every time they get to your small group. So yeah, just expectations. Put fair expectations on yourself, on your small group members, and make it reachable. We're not going to say in a small group, we're going to reach the nations. You know, it's unreachable. We're not going to get it. So, yeah, for me, I've got a lot of respect for all the small group facilitators, and that's why also today, you know, we're going to workshop a bit more together to learn from each other. Because there's so much life, experience in life that we can learn from each other, rather for me to give you an ABC on how to facilitate a small group. Okay. So, yes, David, can we show the first video of Ross? He's basically going to answer the question, why small groups? And the whole time, please make notes for yourself on, remember, you want to communicate this to your small group, because it's not just your small group. It's. Did you enjoy that? Oh, sorry. So you will see the sessions is going to, we're going to focus on four areas of small group, is to care, to grow, to shine, and to build. And we will more or less have a workshop on each of them. Okay. So if you want to write down just for care, obviously John 17 verse 16 says, tend my sheep. So that's like the main verse for caring. We are going to divide into groups now. And I'm going to, we're going to do a bit longer than 5 minutes. I remember in the session, 5 minutes is not enough. So you can pick any three questions in your group, and I'm going to read to you. You will have to write it down, otherwise. What do we do as a small group if someone in a small group lose their job? What are we going to do? Now, I want you, even when you workshop this together, remember a focus that we want to, or a shift that we want to make, is that the small group facilitator must do something. It's the small group must do something, okay? So remember this in your workshop. Don't say the small group facilitator must, you know, remember to bring it in, because we want to create a culture that, like you said, we don't believe, we don't believe in a one-man savior. So, first question, what do we do if someone loses his job? What do we do, second question, what do we do if someone in our small group have a member that died, like a father, a mother, or a brother, or a sister? If someone dies in the family, in the small group, So that's the second one. Third one is, what do we do if someone's get a baby, especially if it's new parents? The fourth one is, it's a bit similar than the first one. What do we do with people with financial needs? And then the last one is, and we brought it in Somerset West, also we've got a few older people. What do we do if someone retired to help that person still feel significant? Jolien, heb jy 'n praktiese vraag? Yes, I will tell you why I didn't put in depression. It's a hoër graad een, that one. So I think we can try that one. It's a tricky one. So there's a few depression is a more at this stage. I think we want to workshop the concept of letting the whole small group work together rather to fix the end goal problem, which is depression. So, but at the same time, we did it in Somerset West too. In our future meetings, it would be good. I would advise you guys to pick one of those more hoograad things, but then also get an expert on that. So let's say depression, to workshop it together, but also get someone that really have the skill in how to deal with that. The same with addiction. I mean, otherwise, just how to handle addiction and depression, it's such a complex one. But at this stage, I think, and it's where me and Richard also beforehand talked, we want to build a culture in our small groups. Yeah, and this is just a practical way of building a bridge. How can we create that culture? Because some of you know, I mean, there's always those things that happen in a small group. That you as a small group facilitator thinks, oh my goodness, what am I supposed to do now? But if we learn from one another, it's easier, you know. It's like I've got someone in my small group that has keel cancer. You know, so even again, you know, by just praying for the person isn't enough. But at the same time, you're like, you know, what do I need to do? So it's good to have a workshop, and I want you guys to when the other groups answer, write down the things, because the chance is good you're going to need it one day. Where something just, you know, happened and you prepared how to handle it. Okay, any other questions that you have on this? So if you can divide in your group, we can at least give you 15 minutes. Richard, you wanted to, I can see in your eyes you want to ask me something. What we could do, Richard, just if you don't, what we could also do, oh, I should have got the ground rules beforehand, but we could get coffee and even sit in a group, or do you want to break? Okay, Jan, you don't want snacks here. See, this is maybe like, of course, it's like like I told you, in my house, we've got it, so we've got a double-story house, the top one, we try to have sanity there, so there's actually nice furniture and stuff, you know, and then the bottom one, even if people come and visit us, we tell them, you can just, yeah, no, if anything breaks there, we don't mind, really, you know, so there, you will probably, if you get in the couch, you might find a cookie, a steak, anything, it's like a whole journey on itself today. So this is the same. This is the upper one, you know. So yes, we will have a break after that for 15 minutes. Let's divide in groups and remember to write it down so that we can share with one another afterwards.